Dolls to get fans out to tonight's Illini Cornhuskers game. Illinois has offered students more than 4,000 free tickets for the final home game of the season. With a 9 p.m. start, the Illini faced a potentially small crowd as the team pushed to make the NCAA tournament field. Sports Information Director Kent Brown said yesterday fewer than 70 of the free tickets remain. This is Morning Edition on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows.
Support for this morning's Marketplace Morning Report comes from the Friends of WILL. Thank you. And from Busey, with more than 145 years of strength and service in our communities. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Informa Economics reduced its outlook for soybeans production in Brazil due to dryness during the growing season. Informa now says that soybean output in Brazil will total 92.5 million metric tons. That's down from the firm's February forecast, but if correct, would be 6.4 million tons larger than last year's harvest. Brazil's soybean harvest is about 26% complete. That's behind average and is 10 days behind last year's 41%. Meanwhile, soybean production in Argentina is forecast by Informa at 58 million tons. That's up 1 million tons from last month's estimate. Brazil's corn crop pegged at 72.4 million metric tons. That's 450,000 tons less than the previous forecast. Meanwhile, Argentina's corn production is forecast at 23.5 million tons. That's 500,000 tons more than the prior forecast. The euro today is teetering on the edge of an 11-year low against the U.S. dollar. The euro has now fallen 8% against the dollar this year, and it has dropped by almost 14% over the past 6 months. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 18,065, down 121 points. The NASDAQ 4430, down 26. The S&P 500 is 2,091. It's down 13 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lunner.
Most of the lower Midwest will continue to deal with adverse weather for a little while longer. Today's conditions will likely deteriorate, believe it or not. It's been raining through much of the past 12 to 24 hours, and the rain has resulted in some flood conditions across parts of the region. We also have some melting snow that's contributing to the runoff and creating the flood environment. The temperatures this afternoon are going to fall off across parts of the region. We're going to find ourselves looking at much colder conditions, and as the colder air arrives, we're going to switch the rain back over to snow across parts of the region. That's going to cause some more accumulating snow across the region. And if it hasn't been stressful enough for livestock across the region, these conditions will make it a lot worse. We're expecting travel delays, to say the least, across this region throughout the day today. The majority of the significant cold air will push into the region as we move through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow. We're expecting to see low temperatures tomorrow morning in the lower Midwest to run mostly in the teens with a few single-digit readings across central Illinois, northern Missouri, and parts of northern Ohio. Further to the north, temperatures mean the negative single digits and probably even into the negative teens across the upper parts of the Midwest. Low temperatures on Friday morning will be mostly in the negative and positive single digits across the heart of the Midwest. The only warmer air will be in the western Corn Belt, where we'll see some teens and lower 20s for lows. The high temperatures across the region here today and tomorrow will certainly be below average, to say the least. We're expecting to see the afternoon readings today to fall into the single digits and teens across a big part of the northern Midwest, with some areas in North Dakota and Minnesota staying below zero. We'll expect the lower Midwest to peak out with temperatures mostly in the 30s, and a lot of that will occur this morning. We'll look for high temperatures tomorrow across the Midwest, mostly in the teens and 20s. And tomorrow's date, just in case you weren't sure, is March 5th. a little unusual to have that kind of cold air in the early part of March. Well, we are going to see warming take place after that. Conditions will get better. We'll look for the temperatures to warm up into a actually above average range in parts of the western Corn Belt for a little while. Most of that warmth is going to be in the southwest. Nebraska, Kansas, and parts of Missouri will see 50 and 60 degree temperatures as we get into the coming weekend. That warmth is not likely to make it all the way into the eastern Midwest, though. There will be a couple of disturbances coming southeastward from Canada that will likely reinforce the cooler bias conditions. And many of the northern and eastern parts of the Midwest will see temperatures this weekend and early next week confined to the 30s and 40s in the north and 40s and perhaps a few lower 50s in the south. But relative to the weather we're going to have across the region over these next 2 days, that still is a big improvement. Precipitation prospects across the area are not going to be all that great once we get beyond tomorrow morning. We do still have to deal with the storm system moving through the region today. It will be a sloppy day, as I mentioned before, across many areas in the lower and eastern parts of the region, primarily the Ohio Basin, and points southeastward into the Delta and the southeastern parts of the U.S. A cold surface high pressure center will be present across the region tomorrow. Skies should clear out across all areas and should be mostly sunny in the majority of the region. The exception will be near the Ohio River, where it still may be cloudy with a few showers lingering early tomorrow morning. As we move on out into the latter part of this week and the weekend, we should expect to see mostly dry conditions prevail. The only disturbance is going to be across the Great Lakes region. That will occur over the weekend. It'll produce a little bit of snowfall across parts of the region, but it's not going to accumulate in a significant manner. Once that system passes on, there'll be a bigger system that will come into the northern U.S. Plains and upper Midwest early to midweek next week. Down in South America, it looks like a wetter forecast for parts of Brazil as we move into the weekend. And this is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is over in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you today.
Marketplace has kind of been a choppy affair thus far this week, yes?
Yes, it has, and trying to ascertain a good reason as to why, and I think we're kind of in one of those time periods where there's not a meaningful headlines coming to the surface. We've dealt with, you know, the South America's issues, whether it be harvest progress or transportation strikes. We've also dealt with, you know, situations over in Russia and Ukraine and some movement. And then domestically, you know, we dealt with our budgetary numbers in February, but none of them seem to have the impact that we need to really jar this market one way or the other. And so what we're really trying to do is maybe design strategies for something down the road and try not to get caught up in the quagmire of no news environment that we're in today.
I will say that maybe the soybean market is giving us something technically. A couple days ago, we had a reversal lower, some follow-through, certainly follow-through today with November at 977, three-quarters down 10. The May is $10 and a quarter down 12. What do you think?
You know, I think realistically this is probably one of the best moves that we've seen as far as determining that maybe the market does have a broader-based downside bias. You know, a lot of us have been looking for this for an extended period of time, and now that we're breaking down, the cards are lined up correctly with South American harvest starting to really get into a better swing. I think they're better than 30% done now. The transportation seems to be freeing up things. We've seen a slower export pace out of the United States for both beans and products. So realistically, as these prices break down, this is probably one of the best real where everything's in sync for a move lower that we've seen in quite some time. So the question is, do we get the ammunition possibly with confirmation from the USDA next week to go ahead and pursue this move to the downside that a lot of us have been expecting for, like I say, an extended period of time?
And if you look at survey results, Bloomberg out, they got beans at 377 million bushels. The forecast, I mean, the actual last month from USDA, 385. So traders not thinking there was much consumption really in the last month. And after this month, the cake probably pretty much baked for U.S.
You know, I think that's indeed the case. And also looking at that 377 number, you know, one of the things that we've kept in-house is, you know, anything above a 375 is probably in the longer term going to be conceived or perceived as burdensome to the overall carryout supply. You know, a 377 is more than adequate. You know, I think what we're going to come back to pretty quickly is numbers at the end of March where we see how many acres we have. 377 number is right in the middle of the road. If we see a good production season, we're going to oversupply the market badly. And if we undersupply the market this year, we still have a little bit of a buffer stock to contend with. So, you know, the 377 going to next week's number is pretty good. And I don't think that the trade is going to get nervous about running out of anything anytime soon. So the downward price bias is probably going to be present with us for a period of time yet.
A little bit of time left. What's your bias on corn? A lot of people beginning to talk up the possibilities of a more bullish outlook.
You know, we've been cautiously optimistic that corn is going to take out the highs under some circumstance down the course of time. We right now are in a trading range from 4 to 420. A break above 420 looks realistic longer term, but right this minute, we're worried about or thinking about the acreage mix. Is this particular price incentive for guys to plant new crop corn? We have some doubts about that, so we want to see those numbers at the end of March before we make a real strong determination. But I think realistically, corn's going to be stable until then at least.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities over in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. May corn, 387.5, down 3.5. July, 395.75, down 3.5. December, 412, down 4.25. May soybeans, 998, down 14.25. July, 1003.75, down 13.5. November, 975.75, down 12. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.